Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Getting Savvy in Health and Wealth. I am your host, co-host, Catherine Murray. Have spent about 15 years on Wall Street at the big firms on the trading desks. I bring you that. And then also as a business news anchor for about 12 years. And I'm with Melissa, Dr. Melissa Hirschberg. Melissa, your background?
Yes, medical doctor extraordinaire. It's almost 20 years now I've been a doctor. Crazy how time flies. Weight loss expert, media personality, and aesthetic injector. So all things health, beauty, weight loss.
Absolutely. Okay, we got a great lineup of topics to talk to you about today. We are going to talk about the tariffs that President-elect Trump said he will impose on day one on Canada, 25%. I know everybody's seen this. It actually caused the Canadian dollar to hit a four-year low. We're going to talk about that, as well as a couple of stocks. It's, of course, Black Friday today when we record this. So are there any interesting retail stocks to take a look at? And then, Melissa, you're going to talk a little bit about, if you want to go over what you're going to say.
Sure. I'm going to talk about some of the things hitting the news this week. So first off was me. I was on the national CBC yesterday talking about a new blood test that is a multi-cancer early detection screening test called GRAIL Galleri, that we're the first clinic to bring this into Canada. So I'll talk about what that is and who may be interested in that. Also going to talk about Wegovy getting the Health Canada approval for obesity and reducing the risk of heart attack and cardiovascular deaths, as well as Australia is having their worst flu season ever and how we should look at this as a warning to us, because Australia had winter before we had winter, and we know that that's the season of colds and flus. And lastly, I'm going to talk about salmon sperm. Mm-hmm. And why we should care about it.
Okay, so don't give it away yet. You got to listen to the end to hear about why we want salmon sperm. Let's get started, Melissa. Let me start off by saying, you know, giving a few thoughts on the tariffs, because I think everybody has seen this, right? I think it's probably for some people, it's been shocking to hear that on day one, President-elect Trump is going to impose 25% tariffs on Canada as well as Mexico. 10% on China. You might sit there and say, well, why only 10% on China? It's because it's on top of whatever is currently being imposed on China. So, you know, President Trump has been campaigned on the view to clean up the borders, stop illegal immigration, and cut down on all the fentanyl that is crossing into the United States. So, you know, I don't think any of us should be surprised, really. And at the same time, too, it's no wonder he wants to protect his borders, right? There's so much fentanyl that's coming across through Mexico. And what's interesting is that they take this chemical that Mexico gets from China and then synthesizes it, and then it in these labs, and then sends it across the U.S. border. And just to give you some statistics here, Melissa, apparently, it's been about 21,000 pounds of fentanyl that's been seized coming from Mexico. Only 43 pounds coming from Canada that's been seized. So 21,000 versus 43 pounds. So you might say, well, why are we being so, you know, negatively impacted as it relates to the tariffs? This is another interesting statistic. The U.S. Border Patrol with Canada has stopped 358 people that are on their terror watch list in 2024. 358 people in this country going to the United States have been stopped. In Mexico, it's 155. So we far outpace Mexico as it relates to people who are on the United States terror watch list. Now, do keep in mind as well that some of those people might be mistaken, or maybe they were affiliated but not in terrorist groups. I'm not sure.
But they've been stopped.
Think about that. Do we know that? Does that get covered in regular media? I don't think so.
So that
Shouldn't
wasn't
we
maybe
be
they
concerned
weren't
and
able
want
to
that
cross.
cleaned up?
But does that mean they weren't able to cross the border?
Well, if they were, I'm sure they crossed. Well, I don't know where they got stopped, right? I don't know that. But I mean, you have, if you cross the border, you're trying to, you have to go through immigration at any one of the
Yeah.
bridges, right? And if you're on a list, you're on a list.
But I feel like good job that they stopped them.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many they didn't stop. That's what we don't know, right? That got
Well,
across.
you're right. Absolutely. So I think that, when you look at the current situation, and what do tariffs mean to us? Well, first of all, is President Trump going to be using tariffs as a tool for foreign policy as part of the negotiation process, or is there a real issue in his mind as it relates to trade imbalance, which I feel like it was more the first time around. This time it seems more like a foreign policy tool. So then you have to sit there and say, well, then does that mean, if we clean up our borders, which it seems like it's a Team Canada approach to make sure that they're secure, maybe we won't get the 25% imposed. We don't know.
So explain to me what a tariff is.
Think of it as a tax. So
Okay.
any of our goods exported to the United States, the states puts an extra essentially tax on them. So it makes them less desirable or attractive to purchase Canadian goods versus goods from somewhere else. Okay.
Okay.
The
So I'm just
reason,
trying to help people understand like how
thank
this
you.
affects, how this comes down and then affects us as Canadians. Like, why should we care? Because Canada, we need the US. It's our biggest trading partner. We need them to buy our products. And if they put this extra tax on, it means they may not buy from us, and that makes our economy go down,
That's
correct?
right. That is
Okay.
absolutely correct. And just by the way, it looks as though our economy is set to grow in 2024 less than 1%.
Yeah,
That's
that's
essentially no growth. So this would have an even, a more negative
worse than
impact
zero.
or addition to that. The other aspect, of course, is that you don't want to end up getting in a trade war, that's for certain. Interestingly, the US imports about, out of all the importation of fossil fuels into the United States, so energy, oil, 60% of it comes from Canada. So they do need our heavy crude for the refiners. So, that's certainly a positive. It wouldn't be good for them either from an inflationary perspective. So that's the other side of the argument.
Well,
If they,
that's what I was. So the reason I
yeah.
wanted to break it down is to, the layperson or someone reading this, and they think, well, if it's just going to hurt them, isn't it going to make it more expensive for them then to import our stuff? But I guess,
Yes.
yeah. So I don't know. I didn't.
It does, but at the same time, too, I mean, obviously they have to look at what their priorities are, and it is certainly to secure their border and get fentanyl out of these people, their, beautiful citizens'
Yeah.
lives, right?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And I think also it's also my understanding is that a lot of the fentanyl is coming to the US from China through Mexico and Canada.
Well, right, and
So
that's
they're
what I
using
mentioned. They're
us
actually,
as the middleman to get it in.
well, that's exactly it. So think about it this way, right? So they actually do get this precursor chemical, Mexico does, from China, and then they synthesize it in these fentanyl clandestine labs, and then Mexico sends it to the United States. What to your point though, even though so much of it really is the fentanyl is coming from Mexico versus Canada, there is a concern amongst some people that Canada will become more of a transit country than it currently is. So again, another reason to shore up, clean up the borders. But I think too that's important when you think about, well, can the United States afford to put tariffs on our oil? I don't know if that's what even in the plan. Maybe that wouldn't be in the plan, but keep this in mind that, I think President-elect Trump wants the oil companies in the United States to drill, baby, drill is the saying. But whether or not the energy companies will want to do that is another matter, because more supply means a lower price, right? So why does a company want a lower price for the product? So that's yet to be determined in terms of whether or not they'd even, increase their own energy supply, oil supply. Does that make sense? To combat not taking it from Canada as much, but they do need our heavy oil. But the other aspect, I wanted to say, Melissa, that I think is really important is that how do they compensate for perhaps tariffs on some of the Canadian goods? Probably lower taxes.
Right. They're going to lower their taxes overall.
So, you know, I think the takeaway is it's a little bit of a wait and see. I think that our premiers, you know, across the country are looking to try to ensure that there's better border security. That's what we got to do.
So that just means more, you know, it's funny because whenever you cross the border, it's always so frustrating. Also, like when you have to deal with the border agents and we get frustrated when we're crossing that they make it difficult. And, but to your point, it's important that we, you know, catch these things going back and forth. And I know like for years, I worked in a methadone clinic. So
what?
In a methadone clinic.
Is that meth?
No. So meth is different. So when people talk about meth, they're thinking about the drug methamphetamine. That's different. This is methadone. So methadone is a harm reduction strategy for people that are addicted to opiates like fentanyl and Percocets and OxyContin. In order to get off it, it's really hard because the withdrawal symptoms are so bad. That's why so many people are addicted and they'll go out of their way to try to get it. So one of the things we use here is harm reduction. It's a government program where we give these patients something called methadone. So it's a long acting opiate that's safer for them. So we prescribe that here. So I mean, to clean up their fentanyl problems, not as easy as just get it off the street and then now you have a problem.
I see.
We just got rid of, I think we had, like in Canada, we had like safe using spots so people could go and I think we're now getting rid of a lot of those centers because some of them are close to kids and parks and education and they were like, no, let's get rid of these. And anyhow, it's a big problem. The whole opiate, the whole fentanyl, we can do a whole episode on talking more about that.
But, for sure. Yeah. So tell me what's, I hope that clears up everything for, you know, listeners. Like, does it clear up for you? Like, what's kind of happening with respect to the tariffs? And, you know,
it's- I think the tariff, I mean, we always hear about this tariffs. And I think that obviously, like, it will bring Trudeau to the table and he'll probably capitulate. And a lot of people are saying that they're using it as a bit of a scare tactic. But by the time he comes to office, it actually won't come to, like, it actually won't come to fruition. But just, you know, if you threaten people with taxes.
Yeah. We'll take it day by day. What's new in the health world?
So yesterday I was on TV on CBC, the National, here in Canada, talking about a new test that's come to Canada called the Grail Gallery test. So this is a multi-cancer early detection blood test. It's a screening test. So they've had this in the US for years. Now it's not, it has to be by a doctor's prescription. I mean, anybody just can't get it. You have to pay for it, but we haven't been able to get it in Canada. So we did get this test in. And if you've ever heard the term liquid biopsy, that's what this is referring to. So basically it's a blood test that looks for something called cell-free DNA. So what is that? Okay. So basically if a kid, typically if you took your blood, you'd see your DNA, but what they want to look for is if you had a tumor that was growing, it's going to shed some of that tumor DNA into your bloodstream.
Wow.
So therefore, the thinking is if you had something that was aggressive or growing, you may be able to pick that up on the blood test and it would then detect a cancer signal. And what's amazing about this technology is that not only can it tell you, yes, there's a cancer signal detected, but then it can also tell you by looking at it, where, what organ and what tissue they think it came from. So we can say we detected a cancer signal and it looks like it's coming from the pancreas. And therefore, because we only have, I mean, I think it's about only 5 approved, you know, real screening tests. We have a mammogram, you know, that screens the breast. We have pap smear that's screened for cervical cancer. We have a colonoscopy. These are ones you may have heard of that screens for colon cancer. But a lot of the organs in our body, we don't have any good screening test for. And sometimes the thinking is the earlier you catch a cancer, the better success you're going to have in treating it. So this has promise in terms of something that can eventually be used. I mean, it's so easy too. It's just a simple blood test, right?
So great.
Yeah, which is great. The thing is, it's not perfect yet, meaning that it doesn't have 100% pickup rate. And even if it does pick up the cancer signal, it's still not, doesn't, a lot of these people then, when they go on, it's actually found that they don't have cancer. So that can actually cause a lot of fear in a lot of people.
Sure.
They get those false positives. But one thing that I thought was really interesting is it's the same science that if you think about, you know, when I was pregnant with my daughter, so we're going back like 13 years ago, I had to wait until, you know, they would do, you could have some screening to find out if they have like a chromosome disorder. So often you get an ultrasound at 13 weeks that might show if there's things that looks like potentially, and then you'd have to go on to get an amniocentesis or something like that, which is much more invasive. That's when you actually go and take a sample of the amniotic fluid and test it to see you're actually getting the actual baby's DNA like that. Hmm. And then by the time I had my son, so now this was 9 years when I was pregnant with him, 9 years ago, there was now this test that you could get done. There was actually a blood test and you could get it done as early as 10 weeks when you were 10 weeks pregnant, and it could find the fetal DNA from your bloodstream. So in other words, the baby is going to shed some of its DNA into the mother's blood.
So interesting.
Yeah. And then through that, that's how now you can find out the gender so much earlier, because you can find out the chromosomes at 10 weeks, whereas before you'd have to wait till they're 5 months pregnant. So it's the same technology. And actually the way it turned into Grail, Galleri, this liquid biopsy idea is early on when they started using this, you know, the woman would go and at 10 weeks and she'd get her blood taken and they'd find the fetal DNA and they'd say, oh, it looks like there's a abnormality here. We see something that looks like it's likely going to be abnormal. She would then go on to have this amniocentesis, or where they actually look at the actual baby's DNA through the amniotic fluid. And they said, no, it's normal. So how could that be? How could it pick up that it said abnormal in the blood test, but then when they actually sampled the baby's DNA, it was normal. And these women were found to have cancer. So
Whoa.
The reason it was giving them an abnormal signal is because they actually had cancer. And that's
wow.
when they started to realize that you can use this blood test, that tumors shed DNA into the bloodstream, just like the baby and the fetus sheds DNA into the bloodstream.
Mm.
Anyhow, it's very complex, hard to understand sort of.
No,
you
explained it very well. I totally get it. But a couple
but
of questions.
It is so fascinating. The technology is amazing. I just don't think the test is totally there yet. And that's why it's something that's not going to be publicly covered. You know, public health isn't going to cover this test yet because it hasn't sort of proved itself worth it yet, but there are ongoing studies. There was a study at Princess Margaret Hospital here in Toronto, the Pathfinder study, that was enrolling people in it. And they're looking to see how many of these patients came in feeling good, not thinking they had any cancer, and then had this cancer detected, and at what stage, and could this help translate to saving lives? So,
boy, oh boy.
Yeah. So that was on news yesterday. So that was a bit of health news that.
Yep. Wait, let me ask you this though. And I'm going to look it up myself too, but a couple of things. Like, one, this has been available in the United States. For how long? Do you wish it had been here sooner, even though there might be false positives? What is the cost to get it done? Do you do it in a doctor's office, or do you send it somewhere to some lab, or what happens?
So it's happening. So it's been done at sort of private clinics in the US. Now, I don't know exactly how long, but I'm pretty can safely say, I think at least 5 years, because
okay.
I think 3 to 5, there was a clinic in the US that I know about that we've talked about before called Fountain Health that I think was offering it. And a lot of these private clinics in the US are starting to offer it. And because it's been offered for longer there and there's more competition, the price has obviously come down. So I don't know. And sometimes they offer it packaged with other things. You know, when you go get a full physical at some of these private clinics in the US, they include it. So I don't know what the cost of the actual test is because it's wrapped with so many other tests.
Right.
Here at our clinic at Wellness House, it's $2,100. So it ain't cheap because it's hard to get. We have to work with a Canadian and an American lab partner.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, what lab are you using?
Yeah. So exactly. So we're working with two different partners on it. And right now we're the only one that's doing it. So it's pretty simple. So the background is complicated, but for the patient, you come in, they pay, they get a blood test, they feel, you know, and it depends. Some people are just very anxious. There are some people that have a strong family history of cancer, and they, like, for them, it just, it causes, like, they're just anxious and worried about it. So they just gives them a little extra peace of mind. Some people have, you know, health spending accounts and they choose to use it for medical tests. There are some people who are afraid of other screening modalities and tests like colonoscopies. And, you know, so this, you know, by no means should this test replace the Health Canada approved screening test we have now, but it's in its early infant sort of stages of us testing it and seeing, I foresee that at some point we will be using technology like this.
And, so Melissa, I'm using my AI, which I love, to look this up, just FYI. And it says it's been available in the United States since June of 2021. And it detects more than 50 types of cancer. And the cost is $949. That's the list price. I don't know if that's the cost.
In the U.S.
In the U.S. And insurance coverage, apparently most do not cover it.
Right. Sounds about right. So if you look at our exchange rate, which we can get to talking about the Canadian dollar soon. So if it's about $1,000 in the U.S., I mean, the Canadian.
Oh, and the Canadian dollar, yeah. See, the Canadian dollar affects everything.
Yeah. So it still is cheaper if you're in the U.S. and you want to get it done there, you know.
But then you got to convert your Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so some people that, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
But actually, it's not too bad. So it's been 3 years. It's only 3 years. I thought it was five. So, you know, we're following suit. And, you know, it's often patients that bring some of the stuff to us and they'll say, you know, I spend my winters in Palm Beach or Miami and I can get all this testing here. I want to get it done in Canada, or I want my family members to get it done. How come you don't have it? And same thing with the private MRIs. I mean, there's the Pronuvo company we had talked about that's offering these private MRIs, and there's lots of them in the US. And people in Canada are, it's so hard to get imaging here. There's a long wait time. And only now we're starting to have this option here where you can pay for an MRI.
Yeah. So
some people are choosing to do that. They're choosing to do an MRI and a blood test and doing everything they can to screen potential cancer.
So Melissa, let me ask you though, you have it now available at your wellness center. Was it difficult to get? Or do you not expect there's going to be more doctors like you doing
it was
this?
Difficult. I mean, I'm not the one involved in the back end on how, but it took us about 6 months to get it rolling, form the relationship, figure out the logistics. So I suspect there will be more starting to offer it, and then the price will become a bit better. I mean, as that's the way the economy works. Right.
You know, and Melissa, just talking about the Canadian dollar for 1 second, I want people to understand this a little bit. You and I have talked about it, but you know, and we talked about it, I think last time, the weak Canadian dollar. I interviewed somebody yesterday for my program that airs on the news forum. It's called The Buck Stops Here with Catherine Murray. It is linear TV, so you can find it, you know, wherever you have your news, if you have cable, or look it up online. And he's a CEO of a company called the Mullen Group, which is trucking and logistics. It's a big company. It's traded on the TSX. Ticker there is MTL. But we were talking, and I've interviewed him for about 12 years at least, and he's always been very rational and candid and truthful about what's going on in the Canadian economy. And what he said to me yesterday, and you know, I've known this, like we've had hundreds of billions of dollars, foreign direct, it's called foreign direct investment. So foreigners' money that comes into Canada to help us build things, because we don't have hundreds of billions of dollars to just spend on new projects. So we need to be able to attract foreign direct investment, or at least have an economy that rewards spending capital. And we haven't done that because the taxes are so high, the energy costs are so high, the regulation is so great that you've had no what's called kind of capital formation, making investments in this country in terms of private money, right? You might have the government do it, but that's just taxpayers' money. That's not outside money looking for a return on their investments, which probably means it's going to be a better investment. So, you know, his name's Murray Mullen, the Mullen Group. And he said that there's just been no capital formation. And that's one of the key reasons why you see a weak Canadian dollar. If you have people wanting to invest in Canada, they're buying the Canadian dollar. They're putting upward pressure on the Canadian dollar. There's been none of that, none of it. So that's why, you know, you're seeing this weak Canadian dollar. That's one reason, one reason. Mm-hmm. We also, of course, have been lowering interest rates. We talked about this last time. So if people are going to lock away their money for a year, are they going to, you know, go where they get a higher rate? In the United States, is about 4.5% or so. Their Fed funds rate, 4.75. Whereas we're, you know, 100 basis point, which we've learned is a percentage point below that. So, you know, lower rates means, you know, it's less attractive to invest here if you're going to sock your money away for a year, right? So that's an issue as well. The other important aspect is, you know, I've said this before, we are a commodity currency. In other words, if you look historically, if the price of oil goes up, the Canadian dollar normally goes up as well. That's not been the case. That relationship has broken down. So there's all these different reasons as to why the Canadian dollar is as low as it is right now. And it really does have to do with the economic policies that has really said, hey, you know, we don't want your money here. But the reality is we need it. We need to be able to build LNG facilities, so liquefied natural gas facilities, to be able to export liquefied natural gas. And we've just made doing business here so difficult. So that's, you know, why.
Let me ask you, would it also be cheap to do business in Canada because our dollar is so bad?
Cheaper, sure. Yeah, I mean, it is. But at the same time, too, not when you have the taxes and the regulation. It's too much of a headache. We saw a lot of companies. It's a headache. Yeah. It's a headache.
I've heard the word regulation so much in the past. Ever since Trump got elected, everywhere all I hear is less regulation, regulations, regulations, and no more regulations. And yes,
it's true. So, and that's why those U.S. markets have taken off, which I'll get to in 1 second here. But you know, even if you're a person listening and you say, "Well, I don't travel that much. I don't mind if I have a weak Canadian dollar." Yes, you do, because everything we buy here or in our grocery stores, as an example. We're importing a lot of those goods, and we're importing them with a much weaker Canadian dollar. So what does the grocery store do, or any store? They're just going to increase the prices that you have to pay. Yeah. So, you know, even if they lower interest rates, which is going to weaken the Canadian dollar, that means you're going to be paying even more at the grocery store. So even though I know, you know, there's high household debt levels right now, so lowering rates is going to alleviate some of that strain. You know, nothing is for free. So just realize that you're going to be paying for it somewhere else because of this weak Canadian dollar.
You feel it when you travel to the US and when you travel to Europe and you leave Canada, your money just, you know.
Bit of a shell shock. Let's move it on. I'll talk about the markets in a bit, but so we've done the grail flu season.
Yes. So Australia. So we know that, you know, obviously when it's summer here, it's winter in Australia. We're on the different side of the equator. So they had their worst flu season ever. And the reason is because vaccine uptake was so low. So you need above 50% of the population to be vaccinated in order to get what we call herd immunity. And I think it fell below that. So they had a really bad flu season. And it's a warning to us now coming into our, they're going into their summer. So they're going to get a reprieve from it. But we're coming into our winter. And it's a warning for us. And I can tell you, I see it and I feel it in my patients. I've never had... So first of all, I've never had so few people call my office and ask me if we have flu shots available. Normally, every year I'm getting patients calling me, do you have the flu shots in? Do you have the flu shot? No one this year. Now, part of that is people are used to now getting more vaccines at the pharmacy, so they may just be asking their local pharmacy. But also when I'm offering it to patients and talking to them about it, I'm even noticing much more decline. So people have vaccine fatigue.
From me. Home.
They do. They people do, and I get it, right? Even like even myself, I was later than I usually am in giving it, to myself and my kids. I take the flu shot. I think it's a good public health measure. I know it reduces the flu, unlike COVID. The flu is much more lethal, and it is more much more lethal to children. And so there's going to be a good number of people who get the flu and end up hospitalized, and potentially, it can turn into a fatal infection. So I do think flu shots are really important. Obviously, it's more important in people who are compromised, immunity, older, have other health fa risk factors. But the problem is, for the general pop, like I talk about with this herd immunity, for a young, healthy person, they might feel like, well, I don't really need the shot. I'm young and healthy. I take good care of myself. But then we don't reach this critical herd immunity. And then we just have more flu going around, more people, those people who are at risk, more likelihood of them getting it, ending up in the hospital. And I want people to remember that, there is, if you are at risk and if you do feel like you're coming down with the flu, so typically the flu, unlike colds, comes on much more quickly. Tend to brew for a bit. You might feel run down, whereas the flu kind of just hits you. And people feel it often presents with a fever, whereas colds, you sometimes may be a little low grade, but flu often has a fever, body aches and chills, and then some respiratory symptoms like cough or sore throat. And if you think that you may be coming down with the flu, we do have medications. If you take them within the first 48 hours, the flu symptoms can help reduce the severity. So you might have heard of Tamiflu or one of those type drugs. We haven't talked about them much in years, but they are still
We
available.
haven't. And that's the Z-Pack too, right? Z-Pack?
No, that's different.
Oh.
That's different. So Z-Pack is an antibiotic. Now that's something that, people joke that they should call it vitamin Z or vitamin Z because people often just pop it when they're getting sick, but that's a problem, and people shouldn't do that because that's how we get antibiotic resistance. So, an antibiotic like the Z-Pak, what the active ingredient is azithromycin, it's a macrolide antibiotic. It's going to be useless if you have a virus like influenza or COVID or RSV because an antibiotic treats bacteria. An antiviral like Tamiflu or Paxlovid that you remember heard about for COVID, that treats viruses and not as effectively. Antibiotics are more effective for bacteria than these antivirals are for. Anyhow, that's a whole other infectious disease discussion, but
It is, but you know
if you
what?
have the flu and if you have somebody and they get that's why COVID was worrisome for so many people, because if you get a bad case of the flu or a bad case of COVID and you can give them any antibiotic, it won't do anything. Z-Pak will
Okay,
not work.
but if you have the flu, you can get a Tamiflu and that can help.
Correct.
And then if
Correct.
you have a cold, you can get a Z-Pak.
No, because a cold
No.
is rhinovirus. So
Okay.
any virus, it's not a bacterial infection. A virus does not respond to antibiotics. Now people think it does, and so everybody says, I need an antibiotic. And
Yeah.
then in their mind, they think, oh, I got better because, like, the natural course of a virus, you get better in 3, 4 days.
Right.
It
Okay,
was
so
a
then
tan. Yeah.
wait,
So
but remind
unfortunately,
me,
there's not much you can do. You can,
what do
cuddle
we
up
do
in
for
bed and
what am I
drink
using a Z,
water.
what am I using a Z pack for?
Pneumonia.
Oh. Okay. Well, you know what? When I was working on the trading desk in the States, and like you cannot get sick. Because you have to be there every morning at 5:45 a.m., right? Like, and you have to travel. Like, I was traveling like 2 or 3 nights a week. You're doing all these IPOs. I was on the institutional equity sales and trading desk at two big firms, Goldman and Deutsche Bank. And like, I mean, getting sick is the kiss of death because guess what? You're still going to be traveling. You're still doing all of this. So I always had a prescription of the Z-Pack with me, and
And
I
that's why we
take
have
it and I
antibiotic
pop
resistance.
it. What?
And that's why that's what we worry about. But I give it to patients. Like, so if patients traveling and they're going to be out of town, it can also be used for I mean, I'm trying to think what else. Travel diarrhea, like traveler's diarrhea, if you get a bad case
Oh.
away, sometimes Z-Pak can be taken for that. And if you're away, if you get a cold, so this is where it gets confusing for people. If you get a cold, a virus, and you get sick, and it it can then turn into, you can get a bacterial infection over top of it. It can turn into a pneumonia, and that may be susceptible, and
Got
that
it.
is susceptible, I should say, to an antibiotic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah.
All
And
right.
then, it can also be used for, when we talk about sinus infections. So a sinus infection is, think about a bad head cold where you really feel it. I mean, if for
Yeah.
those viewers who aren't watching, who are just listening, I'm touching beside my nose and your paranasal sinuses. You have really congested, your lots of nasal congestion, thick nasal discharge. You feel headache and sinus pressure. That's a sinus infection. Now, 90% of those are viral, meaning an antibiotic's not going to do anything, but
Okay.
about 10% are bacterial. So we use indicators like if it's getting better and then it starts to get worse again, that might be time for an antibiotic. If you have a fever more than 5 days, then it might be time for an antibiotic. If
Okay.
you've got lots of sinus pain and pressure and thick. So anyhow, there are indications for antibiotics, but
Okay.
by and large, yeah, not the flu is a virus.
Still
No
love my
impact,
CPAC. Love
not
my
really important.
CPAC.
Oh.
It saved me so many times, Melissa. Whether it was like, just mental or
Right.
truthful, I don't
Yeah.
know. But boy, oh boy, you do not want to be sick on a trading desk. It's hell, hell. Anyway, okay. Speaking of the trading desk, let's talk briefly about the markets. It was a holiday shortened week because of U.S. Thanksgiving, so the markets were closed yesterday, closed today at like 1, and had record closes. So those U.S. markets are up so significantly on a year-to-date basis, up over 20%. The TSX also showed some nice performance for the month of November. But basically, the bull case in the United States, is still, you've got a pro-growth president coming in. And so people are just so excited about that and believe that that will be good for business. So you're seeing a lot of renewed enthusiasm in those US markets. And they also have seasonality. We do here in Canada as well, of course. Markets tend to perform well heading into the end of the year. It's called the Santa Claus Rally. And we also have some good earnings results in the United States. FYI, the Canadian banks are going to start reporting their most recent results next week. I know you have an interest in owning some Canadian financials, so we'll get a good read next week in terms of what that looks like. So now the bear case, though, of course, as it relates to the markets, U.S. and Canada, would be tariffs, and what does that do to the Canadian economy, of course, and does it decrease our growth and our demand? We have no growth anyway. And what does it do to the United States? Does it increase the costs for individuals and therefore inflation, and that's bad for the markets? So that's kind of where we stand. Thoughts?
I mean, as we've talked about, I know, with Trump coming in, a lot of people think that means we're going to continue, the market's going to continue to, be great. And, but then there's the other people like that look at the past returns of the past few years and are like, how can it continue to go like this? And it doesn't make sense. And there are people that we've talked about Buffett so many times trying to like, hypothesize, maybe is he stockpiling this cash so that he's ready to jump and go shopping when things crash and go down and stocks go on sale, So yeah, I always sort of think about that. It was funny, I was out for dinner last night, and this is something you and I have talked about,
Wait, did
and
you go anywhere good?
Morton's Steakhouse.
Oh yeah, that's always good. Okay, go
Steaks are
on.
always good. It was busy, and it's like this is the season, right? Where everywhere is busy and vibey, and it was a fun night. So I was out for dinner, and we're all just, having a drink, and everybody's just like talking about, I don't know, like fun topics. And all of a sudden, I was like, "So, ladies, can I ask a personal question? Do you girls have TFSAs?" And there was like quiet, and like a couple of the girls were like, "TFSA, what? Like, what are you talking about?" And then they're like, "I think so. Yes, I do." But the consensus at the table was that most of them did, and didn't really know what to do with the funds inside of them. They had been saving and putting money in it, but had not invested that money. So it was just sitting there as a savings account. And like we and I have talked about, you know, this is something that we always, you know, think about. A shop, should they start, should we start learning? We need to get savvier and, and learn how to start investing. Shopping.
Well, and I think that hopefully what we're doing in terms of this conversation is you learn, you know, it's a moving story, the markets. And the markets, what I, again, like what I love about them so much is that they represent the world and they represent how people feel, right? Like it's everything is reflected in the markets, right? The market's moving higher in the United States because everyone's so excited that, you know, they're going to have more growth. Why is the Canadian dollar down? Because we don't have growth. Like they just represent a story. And so it's I think it's so interesting to make that connection rather than just saying, oh, we have a low dollar. Let's understand why and what can we do about it and how will that change? So hopefully people find that interesting. And then also I do think that TFSA, so tax-free savings account, just to kind of reiterate for everybody, it means that all the money that grows in that account isn't taxed in it or outside of it. In a regular account, it is taxed. Your dividends are taxed, your capital gains are taxed, your interest income is taxed. So as a
but
first—
I think people need to understand really what that means. Because I mean, we always talk on this podcast and we assume, you know, that the listener knows, but there are some people who are very intimidated to ask questions and something's new to them. So what does that mean? That means that if you put money in your TFSA, the income you make on the money that that money makes is not taxed.
Right.
Now, if your money is just sitting there, not making money, it's irrelevant. It's never going to be taxed because it's not making any money.
Right. But I mean, presumably you earn a teeny bit of interest income sitting in that savings account. Are you talking about in a savings account or in a TFSA?
In the TFSA, but if it's just sitting there in the account, it's not.
It's a waste. Yeah. Pardon me? It's a wasted opportunity, I think is what you're saying.
It's a wasted opportunity. And I think that's what people don't realize.
Right.
You know? And I think it's just something that people take for granted that they understand this topic and other people don't. But, you know, it's like, if your money's making money, because either the stock is going up or because, you know, you're collecting dividend income, you're not going to be taxed on that.
Right. And it's very powerful because, you know, you're taxed on your income and to a very large degree, you're taxed on everything you buy, property tax. So the fact that there's—
Although we're not going to be taxed here at Christmas time, right?
On potato chips, right.
Isn't that the big news? Yeah.
The GST for 2 months?
So what is it, on children's toys or children's and food? What aren't we taxed on?
You know what? It's so irrelevant to me because it's 2 months. There are so many larger issues at hand and at play here that need to be fixed and addressed. This is like a Band-Aid. Not even. I mean, what's smaller than a Band-Aid, Melissa? A cotton ball? Like, it's just, you know, what?
A pimple patch?
It's a pimple patch, okay? There are so many other issues, you know, and I don't mean to make light of it. If it helps people, that's fantastic, but it's not, he's trying to buy.
I mean, there are some people it is relevant to that want to go Christmas shopping and make the difference between being able to buy your kid one present or two. So I do think I think that's why you know, it speaks to people. It will help people. It will help a lot of Canadians, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, you're looking at a small little thing that's going to make people
But you know what, Melissa? There's actually been some reports I've been reading that a lot of small businesses and retailers don't even want it because the logistics of trying to implement it for 2 months is costing them money. So there's actually another whole side of the story here, which is it's actually a cost for a lot of people as well. Just in terms of trying to implement this. So, and it will cost the taxpayers as well. So, you know, it's I don't think it's that well thought out, quite frankly, but. But wait, Melissa, we're going to run out of time here.
Yeah, let's get to Sam's
But I want to just mention Oh, okay. You do the salmon, and then I want to mention two stocks.
First of all, I call me naive. It didn't occur to me that salmon even had testicles.
Okay, wait, you have to go back. We're talking about, because I don't think people could hear. We're talking about salmon sperm.
Yes.
Right. So you're saying you didn't know that salmon had testicles, which is where sperm comes from.
Correct.
Okay.
Right?
What?
Because usually you think about testicles as something being on the outside of a body. And when I think of a salmon, I just didn't think about them having testicles, but I guess that's how they procreate.
Okay.
Anyhow, so why do we care about salmon sperm? So it is being used, so the DNA is being used in cosmetic products and in a new type of thing we're bringing into our clinic. I've actually just ordered some. Now, I didn't order salmon sperm, don't get nervous, but I
I
ordered
wanted
something.
it.
Yes,
I
but it's
want
not
it.
called
I don't even
salmon.
know what it is. Wait, I don't even
Exactly.
know what it is yet. I already know
And you
I
want it. There's going to be a lot of guys listening and be like, oh, I can give you some.
Yeah.
But anyhow, okay, back to the salmon sperm. It's actually what we call PDRN, which stands for, I think, polydeoxyribonucleotides, PDRN, which is fragments of DNA from the salmon's testicles that can be used in regenerative medicine because it's very rich in peptides and growth factors. So when we apply them to the skin and we try to apply them in a way that we get them to penetrate, so often what we'll do is we'll use a device called a microneedling device that creates tiny mini punctures in the skin. And then we lay this product on top and it infuses into the skin and causes regeneration at collagen boosting, growth of tissue, younger looking tissue, healthier looking tissue, new tissue. Because if you think of sperm is that's the very start of growing something. I mean, you can't get any younger than sperm.
I guess
An
not.
egg, that's where it all starts, right?
So, okay, but so a when did this come about?
So this
Why?
has been popular in Korea for
Okay.
years. And people don't know this, but Korea is actually a forefront, like it's a front runner
Yeah.
in aesthetic medicine. They have some of the best facials, they do lots of injectables. So it's been used there for a long time. In the US, what's interesting is it's approved. And actually, it was Kim Kardashian who made this popular or brought this to social media. And that's how people learned about it because her doctor, I think his name is Dr. Kanodia, uses this and used it on her, and she posted about it. And so he makes his own cocktail. And in the US, unlike in Canada, you're allowed to inject this into the skin. And it's apparently supposed to be great for the tear trough region. When I say that, so have to put a needle in and like a dull needle, we all call them cannulas, and you can inject it under the skin. In Canada, it's not approved that way. You can only use it topically. So, but I mean,
Are you you said you're not getting it. Are you getting
I
it or not?
ordered it. Oh, it's
Oh, you
coming.
ordered. Oh,
Oh, yeah. And
okay.
we talked about this. So, this is a podcast. So, most of our people are listening, but I'm going to start filming more of what we're talking about and then we can post about it so people can actually see what we're doing and see these treatments in action. And I'm totally going to do it, of course.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so we have at Wellness House, we have a device called Silfirm, which is a microneedling and radio frequency device. So you can use that first on the face and then put this on. And you can also combine it with exosomes. You've probably heard that name before, and we can talk about
Yeah.
it in your episode because we're running out of time. But this is what Dr. Kanodia, this Kim Kardashian's doctor, mixes exosomes with these PDRN salmon DNA and gets these. Apparently can get really beautiful, glowing skin results. So I'm excited to try
Yeah.
it. And yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, great. I can't wait. You go first. I'm kidding.
Okay.
No,
Okay.
we'll do it at the same time. No. We'll do it at the same time. Melissa, just real brief here, as it is Black Friday,
Yes.
there have been some early reports that retail sales are up by 8%. percent or so. We'll see, how that really plays out, because there's also the National Retail Federation that thinks it's going to be a slower holiday season. But it made me think, okay, why don't we look at some retail stocks? So, if you remember last week, I did mention to you briefly that, if you don't want to pick a company-specific story like a Lululemon, you can just buy the XRT. That's an ETF that represents retail companies. The XRT is only up by about 14% on a year-to-date basis versus the broader market in the States that's up 22% or 20% or so. So it's underperformed. So in some ways, okay, if the consumer is getting stronger, if 2025 looks good, it might be an interesting time to step in and buy a retail ETF. I also did, however, look at a retail stock, Ralph Lauren. And the reason why I did this, Melissa, I used to wear Ralph Lauren eons ago, and I haven't been wearing it. But then I went to the premium outlet malls here just outside of Toronto, Mississauga area, Halton, and the lineup to check out was 20 minutes, and there was a lineup to get in the store. And yes, they were having some good deals. But I just thought that was so astounding as it relates to the brand. I mean, is the brand back and everybody's buying the polo shirts?
So I know it's back for kids. I
Is
know
it?
boys, yes. So high school, teenage, tween boys are really liking the brand. I personally don't wear Ralph Lauren. I just, it's not that I don't like it. It's just very, it's never been, I don't know, once I gravitated to or my style. But yeah, I mean, I was talking to you when we talk about retail. Like, I don't know how these luxury brands are going to do. We've talked about LVMH and how it's not been doing great. Ralph Lauren, I would think, is like a luxury brand,
Ish.
although this was at the outlet mall, right? This is
Yeah.
people looking to get a deal. So I still think discount retail, like I was telling you about this. I listened to, actually Adam sent it to me, this 3-hour podcast on Costco. And it was a whole 3-hour breakdown of the company. And after listening to it, I thought to myself, okay, I need to go get a Costco membership. I used to have one, then I gave it up. And also, that's a stock that I know it's
Yeah.
expensive, but it just sounds, when you listen to all the stuff about the company, that kind of retail, and people that even buy their clothes there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
It's
I'll look at
fascinating.
Costco. I will look at Costco for next time, but I did look at RL. They had a very strong second quarter. They beat the expectations. So now I'm going to talk in a little bit like how when remember when we look at a company and they've got quarterly earnings, the reason why it matters is because you're going to learn about how the company's doing. And they did better than people expected. The stock
Interesting.
moved up by, I think, 8% on the day that they reported. They're getting broad-based growth in Europe and Asia, very strong there. Full price selling, which means they don't have to discount to get rid of the inventory. So that's good for margins, which means it's good for earnings. And then they've been having this brand elevation strategy that has continued to drive global interest in the brand. The stock is up 58% in 2024. Yes. But I did read an analyst report, and they think there's still about 30% upside. So
Really?
I might look at it. I might,
Yeah.
yeah.
And when you do, okay, so for let's look at so a little bit more of this, and I'm curious to know if you do buy
Okay.
it, and also Victoria's Secret. I think they're having a comeback.
Yes. I'll look at that as well. I'll look at that. But again, so RL up 58%, XRT, the retail ETF, up only, 14%. So am I better off to buy the retail ETF or just go into a brand that's kind of working? So
Well,
I
so we
just,
always say, like with the ETF, you're buying the winners and the losers.
that's the problem too, right? That's why it's only up 14% versus a company. So this is where we talk about, do you want to own the ETF, the index, or do you want to do a little bit of homework and buy a brand that you really believe in, like a Lululemon, like a Ralph Lauren? What do the company fundamentals look like? And
I think I gravitate on this more towards a specific, something that
You
I like,
do.
something that I believe in. Yeah. Whereas I understand an ETF if you're buying like the 500 companies, the broader market, or if you really like a sector, like if you really think AI is just booming. But I don't see what's so different about retail right now than would have been, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I don't, so that's just how I think about it. But like I said, like I'm, this is just a, just my own personal views on it. But let me tell you something.
Tell
I
me.
don't know if Winners is a public company. What's Win? I don't know who owns Winners or what it is, but they're if it was a stock, it would have gone up today because I am hosting a holiday party tomorrow night. And okay, my daughter goes to this dance studio and I got nominated to host the holiday Christmas party, but I'm a Jew and I don't have any Christmas decorations. And we don't decorate our houses like crazy with like dreidels and menorahs. So my house doesn't look very fancy. So I went to Winners and I went shopping and it's so fun. I have to say, like, it is just so much more. Like, I mean, yeah, as the religious and all that stuff aside, but just in terms of it's just so fun. And I feel like for when it's getting dark out earlier and it's cold, to have your house look lit up and festive and
How pretty.
decorated, it just gives people a little bit of, happiness. I can see that. I'm starting to see that. And
Keep
oh my
seeing
God, is
it.
it commercialized? There's so much to buy.
I hope, did you get a lot? Like, I hope you really did it up.
Well, I don't think it would be considered a, because I'm also, there's a part of me that's like, all right, I don't want my, I mean, I have to respect my, background and, everything, but I did. I got some cute, like those, like gnomes or whatever that you put on the mantle, and I got a little bit of like, I don't know, I just went shopping. I got fun stuff.
That's
And I'm
so
doing like a
fun.
look like some trees and some Hanukkah bushes.
Nice.
Yeah. So it'll be fun.
That sounds
Yeah.
great. I can't believe, did you get nominated or did you volunteer?
Oh, well, Rebecca volunteered me.
Oh, there you go. I knew you did
That's how I
not.
got nominated. She's, oh, my mom will do it. We'll have the party.
There
Okay.
you go.
Yeah.
There you
Anyway, I'm
go.
excited. Yeah,
All
do you have any
right.
plans this weekend?
What's
So that was
that?
my shop. That was my consumer shopping. And did you buy anything this week? Anything in the market or in the
I
store?
did.
Okay.
I did. So
Okay.
when I actually went to the Ralph Lauren store
Yeah.
and I saw a mannequin that I thought it looks just so, I don't know, good. So I just bought the
Yeah.
whole thing. I mean, I bought the whole outfit.
Wait. Wasn't Ralph Lauren the Olympics, the Paris Olympics? Didn't they do
Yes.
all their clothes?
Yes.
That's why it's up like crazy.
Yes.
That's
This
what
is their
Ralph Lauren
global
was.
rebranding.
Yes, it was
Yes.
amazing. I remember being in Beverly Hills in the summertime and going into the Ralph Lauren store, and I never would normally go in, but I went in because they had all the Olympic stuff. And they're going to be, yeah, so.
So I bought a whole outfit, a very like jeans with a jean shirt, and then the proper sweater.
Oh my gosh, I want to see this outfit.
It's pretty
Okay,
cute.
when we film the content in my office, when we film our salmon DNA facials, let's
I'll wear my
also,
RL outfit. I'll wear
show me
my.
some of these outfits because that's
Okay.
good stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we better wrap it up here. I actually had more to talk about, but we'll leave it there.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Everybody have a great weekend and week. We'll see you next week.